Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's to my left.
Hello.
Luke Moore's opposite me.
I am, all right.
And as always, Pete Donaldson is to my right hand.
Love ya.
Yes, and we love you back even more, pal. Right then, let's preview some things, everybody. Liverpool versus Manchester City in the League Cup final. Whoa, Jimbo, eh? Silverware. Someone will
up
go
for
home.
Grabs.
Up for the cup.
You make this sound like it's bullseye. like one of them's going to win a set of really nice cutlery or a speedboat.
A speedboat or a bendy bully.
A bendy bully.
A tankard, or I think the ladies should get a glass.
References from the teenagers.
People tune in and go,
what is happening?
If you don't know Bullseye.
They've got Challenge TV.
They probably have, actually.
Surely. Everyone has it these days, Jim, don't they?
I'm the voiceover on it.
Are you just?
All right, there you are. Shows how much Challenge TV you watch.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was put off by the voiceover guy.
I'll watch it with the sound off.
Most of the voiceovers are plugging what's on pick, to be fair.
They are, which is
usually NCIS Los Angeles.
You don't get extra for this, you know.
Oh, what?
That's all right, yeah, please give me the challenge contract.
Bradley Walsh, back next with the chess.
I'll talk about it on the ramble and everything.
But Liverpool are up against Manchester City. Liverpool, I believe, had been drawn in the home dressing room.
Does
that give them an advantage?
No,
Marcus, okay. I think you know it doesn't. Unless the away dressing room is horrible.
Both of them are very similar, actually, having been in both. Not during a match time.
You said so both, like Liverpoolian there.
Both.
I'm surprised there's any differences at all.
Subtle ones.
Back in the day,
there's some subtle differences.
Back in the day, you can imagine there's a real, the away dressing room would be just dreadful. Absolutely.
This is not a Barry Fry one.
No, that's what I'm saying. Back in the day. These days, I imagine they're all very similar.
Back in the day of Bullseye and that sort of stuff.
Pete, do you want to come in on that?
I went to Reading's dressing room. I was playing at the Reading Stadium, in fact.
Oh, you were?
At Rupert Fry's stag do.
Yeah.
Stag do. Friend of the Ramble, of course. And he runs South American football to cut it UK. This isn't a ramble about
Gold.com,
him.
Man,
Stop promoting other
God.
Things.
Yeah.
Just calm down.
And I was just really impressed by the depth of the. We've talked about baths on the show before, but I was really impressed with it, with the depths of the baths in Reading FC's home dressing room.
Where
and
you?
I filled it up with loads
stop.
And loads of.
Yeah, I want you to stop as well.
I filled it up, and there was and the taps gave us so much hot water so quickly.
You have to pay extra for using the bar.
It was wonderful.
I've played at Wembley, as you guys all know, and I got changed in one of the dressing rooms, but I don't know which one it was, and I didn't see the other one, so
it's
I can't
confirm four,
if it's
be
home
fair.
Or away. Yeah, there definitely are more than two.
Was that just like a park in Wembley? Because that's not the same.
Wembley Stadium, home of football.
Well, while we're talking about football dressing rooms, if anybody has been to the Giuseppe Meazza in San Siro, home to the Milans, of course.
Yeah.
The two changing rooms there are vastly different. They reflect the... Well, Moratti's not the owner anymore, is he?
No, he's
of Inter.
I think he's one of his family members, possibly his daughter, is the chairwoman still.
Betty.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we spoke about her on the...
I believe we did. So you're all right talking. You can name drop Moratti if you want.
So Inter's stadium is very modest. So it's kind of like, you know, you are the players of this club, but you've got to stay modest, keep your feet on the ground. It is just benches. There's nothing to it.
Yeah, okay.
It's very, very modest, as I say. Whereas Berlusconi, he has gone for a different approach.
Likes to run things quite differently.
That's right. They've all got these lovely leather seats each.
Bunga bunga party.
Well, may or may not have happened.
I'm imagining
that
sort of like the lazy boy seats.
Yeah, kind of.
The ones you get at AirPods that vibrate.
They're not far off.
Massage chairs.
This is really, they've got... I think they're like television screens above the chairs, and they've all got a picture of the player's face on. So you have an allocated chair.
Oh,
so,
very nice.
And if you get sent off, you can watch the rest of the game in comfort.
Or you just look at your own face and go, yeah, the ref was, I'm brilliant.
Yeah.
They'll struggle without me if you're Ibrahimovic or somebody like that. So enough of the dressing room chat.
I'm excited for the League Cup final. Yeah. The reason I'm excited,
it's always brilliant.
It's because it's usually a good game, and also because it's the first piece of silverware of the season. Mm. And
well, Community Shield.
Oh, come on.
Don't be disrespectful to the Shield.
I never would, and you know that. You know I hold that in very, very high esteem, and I'm surprised that you pointed me out on that.
Portsmouth played in it.
Yeah, they did. They played in it, and we lost on penalties, I think, to Manchester United.
You think?
Yeah, I think we lost on penalties.
So many cup finals Portsmouth were in there.
I'll tell you what, it was a home from home for a while.
It was.
Wembley. I'm telling you, for Portsmouth.
Did Newcastle ever play in it when Manchester United won the league? I can't remember.
Newcastle probably would have.
Newcastle played Arsenal in the final.
If they played the double, oh, yeah. Did Arsenal do the double that year? No, probably not.
Possibly 98.
I seem to remember
and Elka and Overmars, I think, got the goals that day. Yeah, Jim remembers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love it because it means we've won four trophies in the past two seasons.
But I don't even think we've mentioned the teams in the League Cup. They're about 8 minutes in.
What are the Bet365 odds on us mentioning them?
I can't tell you what the odds are.
I did say Liverpool because I think they've been drawn at home.
Well
done. But for those who don't
know,
they are playing Manchester City.
Yeah, there we go. Who have been in action midweek and done very well, but they've got a lot of injuries. And Liverpool are actually playing as we record this show. So Liverpool are fairly injury-free, which is always a factor in cup
injury-free. Fairly
injury-free compared to Man City in the midfield, for example.
The City thing is interesting, isn't it? Because Pellegrini rested a lot of players in the FA Cup with one eye on Dynamo Kiev and also the Capital One
and
Cup
his other eye
final. Yeah, the other eye, indeed. Famously has two eyes, like an eagle.
or many other animals.
Yeah. A lot of them. And but I didn't realise this at the time, but Dynamo Kiev haven't played a game in about 4 months.
Yeah, yeah. That always
surely have gone a
that
lot
always
easier.
Happens, doesn't it, with the way their season is.
He sort of has to win it, doesn't he, with that decision. he sacrificed one cup for this one.
I know, but with the injuries and the legginess of some players in that squad, and it being an away game in Kiev, which is always a difficult place to go, because we know we've been there. It's a good win. 3-1 away from home in the Champions League is a great win. So that's why he was saying he was justified himself in dropping those players for the FA Cup. But you can argue till the cows come home about
that. But Marcus, Jim's point is a fairly sort of unmentioned one, this whole conversation around Pellegrini resting players and stuff. I mean, you're right. I've just checked it, and they haven't played in the league in Ukraine since the 6th of December. They're not playing again to the 5th of March.
Yeah.
So it's bang in the middle of
the break. They looked exactly like a team in pre-season.
Completely. And so I'm not sure if I really subscribe to this sort of smug theory that Pellegrini had. No, I think he's a nice guy and he's all right, but he seems to be quite smug about it afterwards. Well, my position is completely justified now. Is it really?
All the tyres you could have got, it could not have been better.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's a fair point, to be fair. To be fair.
But Man City are favourites for the League Cup final. They're 5-4.
Mine, rightly so.
Yeah, and Liverpool 21-10. So £10 on them.
Well, you say rightly so.
Well, £10 on them delivers you £31, including stake. So they are sort of slightly longer prices compared to Man City. You'd expect that, but then having said that, Man City have got a lot of injuries.
And Liverpool hammered them earlier in the season.
They did,
they really
correct.
Gave them a bit of a lesson. So.
And it's also tempting to think that Liverpool have got a lot of injuries still, and they have got a few, but a lot of the talk a couple of months ago was about how many injuries they had. Mm. They've actually not got that many now when compared to Man City.
Mm. Coutinho being back is a huge thing as well. Is Sturridge likely to start? Do we know?
Well, that's what the chat is. But they've got Yaya Toure in Manchester City, and Roy Keane said
will turn up?
Well, he said he's a wonderful player on his day, but when he's bad, he's bad. Hopefully for Manchester City's sake, it'll be one of those good occasions.
Would you like to see Toure versus Toure?
That will be great, actually, if that happens.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? I'd love if we did some research and had a fact around the last time brothers played against each other in a cup final.
Oh, they're a sort of like kid sitcom that never happened, those two.
I like the Roy Keane
Nickelodeon sitcom.
I didn't see all of the game against Kiev, against Dynamo Kiev in Kiev, but when I saw the scorers,
neither did a lot of the Kiev players.
Yeah, but when I saw the scorers, Nick said, yeah, it's alright, 90th minute, I thought, yeah, it'll get you one. Get your third and a 3-1 win, no problem.
A team that have run around for an hour and a half that haven't played a game for 2 months, yeah, you can wear them down.
Why not just bring him on for the last 10 minutes and have done with it?
Yeah, they should do. I wouldn't be averse to that.
He's so relaxed, though, isn't he? Even the way he put it in.
But the thing is, though, great finish. I agree with all that. But when all said and done, he got a vital third goal.
But the great thing about Roy
it was
Keane,
a nice finish.
Put it to bed because he likes being lazy. Well,
but the great thing about Roy Keane is that it's exactly the sort of thing that Roy Keane would get annoyed about.
Yeah,
and he's perfectly gone to form there. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. You can imagine Keane in his own head thinking about all the running he'd have to do to make up for Toure.
Yeah,
and just being angry based on that.
Even though it's
situation.
Never happened. Yeah, even though it's never. And would it be sort of fascinating for Jurgen Klopp to lift a trophy so soon after taking over?
Boy, it'd be massive, wouldn't it? It would, you know, because we've spoken so much about this being a very strange time in which to judge Klopp, because it's not his squad. You know, he can only have so much influence on the team in the wider sense that a manager usually does. So if he gets a maiden trophy now, then that starts with a bang. Because it's been a while since Liverpool have won something, and yeah, they've not won the league in a long, long time, but they've won trophies fairly consistently throughout, despite that. And you know, is it 3 years without one, or quite a bit longer than that, is it? No, Rodgers didn't win one, but Dalglish
did.
The League Cup, didn't he? So yeah, if they can get another one in there, that'd be good. Because you know, we've seen from Arsenal, if that gets too long, it becomes a big problem.
I saw City in a League Cup final a few years ago against Sunderland, and in the first half, Sunderland were very, very good. City, it was almost like City didn't turn up. And of course, they managed to eventually win the game. So I think, you know, on that basis, I think Liverpool should just really go for it. And it's a bonus for them, based on what Jim was saying about the situation with Klopp and the fact that they're in transition. If they can win a trophy this season, that'd be such a bonus for them. It really would.
Well, as Jim said about the earlier win when they scored, was it 4 past them at the Etihad? If Liverpool just run at them and really try and close it down, because this Manchester City side looked leggy.
Yeah.
Despite the injuries and all, they looked leggy. And they should go for it, Peter.
I don't think they rested that many players. They still had a nucleus, let's say, of players that usually play anyway. And they should have enough to not turn in a 5-1.
Yeah, there's no excuse for the scoreline.
I think it was the fact that he played players who had no first-team experience.
Yeah, 6 players with no first-team experience. And there's a lot of players, you know, that don't play regularly. Ian Acho is in there as a senior player who's only really broke through this season.
Well, would you not question their youth policy then? Why have they got so many players that have never played or never been near a football pitch?
Well, because every club has a huge squad of youth players at their disposal, and
they do have a huge academy.
Then it's irresponsible to put all of them on the field at the same time.
Yeah, it was almost done to make a point. We mentioned this last week with Harry Redknapp and the 2 goalkeepers. One of the best things, one of the best tropes of Harry Redknapp's management reign.
Manchester City do have a huge academy, which you'd imagine Guardiola and co will be tapping into even more so as the months go by. In the Premier League, back in the Prem, Leicester City versus Norwich City. It's good to see Leicester again.
Yeah, I miss Leicester.
We have missed Leicester, yeah. This is a different test now for Leicester, of course.
They're getting tested every week, isn't it? We're always telling them, they've won against Liverpool.
No, but this is a different one.
How's their algebra?
Yeah.
Have you seen them beat the bleep lately?
Jim, you know this is a different one.
But we're now getting into the situation where we've had a week off for the cup, and it really is business end time now.
It's business. And
if Leicester played Norwich at home 3 months ago, we probably wouldn't even be talking about it on the show, because that's probably a win. It's not that interesting. But now it's a real test. In the way they were beaten by Arsenal, people were talking about them like the whole dream was over because they lost that one game. It's the first game they lost in about 8 in the league, and they're still top by 2 points, and Norwich are in terrible form.
So home banker as the league leaders, that's a different test, isn't it?
It's a different type of pressure
at this stage. Exactly. Yeah, we'll see how they step up. And I hope they do. Everyone's behind them.
Even Arsenal fans. I love that.
Do you think that genuinely helps them, that everyone, you know, wants...
It didn't quite
their
help.
Their own club to obviously win.
Well, Liverpool were the neutral's favourite, weren't they, when they were going with Suarez and all, and it didn't quite get them over the line.
It's easier to get behind Leicester, though, isn't it? To be a lot more neutral. I was behind Liverpool at the time because they were playing such nice football. Every single game Liverpool played in that period, you always knew it was going to be a barn burner. You didn't have to drag yourself to the TV to watch that. You weren't looking at Super Sunday going, oh, who's playing? If it was Liverpool, you knew it was going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Leicester at the moment. Even though they were beaten by Arsenal, it was a fascinating game.
It was.
And the way set up is really something to look forward to, because Norwich need a win themselves. Norwich are in big trouble. They've not won in ages. Leicester have got a pretty clean bill of health. I think only Danny Simpson is out because of the suspension. Mm. Everyone else, I think, is fit and raring to go. So it'll be interesting to see if their rest has refreshed them. But I actually saw an interview with Jamie Vardy last week, and someone asked him about the pizza thing. It's the first time I've seen anyone mention it apart from Ranieri. Well,
does he give you pizza if you keep a clean sheet?
But he actually said what Ranieri did when he made that quote about pizza to the press, and everyone picked up on it. He took them to one of his favourite Italian restaurants from his first time in England and took them all on a pizza making course. And they all made pizzas together.
Oh, wow.
And then apparently he completely restricted the ingredients they're allowed. They were essentially only allowed like a margarita pizza and a small one. but so it just goes to show you behind the scenes, the team spirit is very, very good at this stuff.
Hang on, so he took them all the way down to London, presumably?
He just said it was one of Ranieri's favourite restaurants, so I presume it was when he was there beforehand. Yeah, well, might be up in Leicester.
Have been when they were down in London for an away trip anyway.
Completely, exactly. So I can't wait for this game. I'm really excited for it. And Leicester, as you would expect, are our favourites to win this game. They're 1-2 because they're at home, you know. Their odds on £10 brings you back £15, including your stake. Norwich are way out at 5-1 for this game. It's hard to make an argument for Norwich to win this. It really is.
Kasper Schmeichel could get flour in his mouth.
He could do.
From all that pizza making.
You never know, mate. It could just be have doughy hands.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's likely. What do you reckon? Are you suggesting that people from Norwich might have sprinkled flour on his gloves so he's got no grip?
Well, I'm just saying, I presume this relentless pizza making probably would take a toll after a while.
I mean, I don't think they're doing it all the time.
Right, okay.
Make that clear.
I'm just thinking he could have residual dough inside his gloves, which might make the ball a little slippery.
But would that be bad? Dough's quite sticky. Exactly. Is that definitely a bad that's thing? What I tried, flour on
your dough is.
I tried to throw
Great British Bake Off quality, mate.
Are you finished?
No.
I tried to throw him a bone by saying that someone dusted perhaps flour on his gloves. Mm. Didn't want to know, did he?
No.
Ploughed straight on without thinking about it.
Ploughed flour?
Ploughed straight on. Marcus, have you got anything to save this with?
I don't, but I think Leicester now mean business.
But even if Leicester completely pile in under the pressure, I still fancy them to have enough to get past them. I really do. I think it's difficult to make an argument, as I say, for Norwich in any way.
Their away form's really, really bad.
Yeah, I think, like I say, look, they mean business.
They do.
We're going to talk about Spurs versus Swansea and Manchester United versus Arsenal after this.
Heads up, it's the Ramblers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. Spurs at home to Swansea. A home banker, Jim, surely. We'll talk about Leicester and their different types of tests. Well, this is a similar test for Spurs because they're used to beating teams like that. They should beat teams like that.
Yeah, but I think they're going into that with absolute glee, though, aren't they? You know, apparently Swansea have never beaten Spurs in the Premier League.
Mm.
So
They've certainly beaten Arsenal, the Swans.
They certainly have, yeah. They've broken our arms on many occasions. Christian Eriksen is in particularly brilliant form, isn't it? I think he's had a hand in 5 goals in his last 5 games, be those goals he scored or assisted. And I just think Tottenham are going to take this. Mm. They don't look...
With a name like Eriksen, he's always going to be good. but that's a nice game for Spurs, isn't it? Coming back from a little break from the cup and all the rest of it.
Playing in the Europa League tonight.
Oh, sorry, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, I mean,
they're going to be knackered.
They are going to be knackered. You're absolutely right, Jim. But from... having not played in the league for a bit, it's a different type of game, different type of pressure. To come back to the Premier League and be playing a very poor Swansea side at home is just really what the doctor ordered.
But the pressure on them is the fact that they're locked on the same points as Arsenal. Arsenal are going to Old Trafford, and Spurs will know that. So Spurs will want to put a bit of daylight between them ahead of the North London Derby, which is coming up. So it does come with its own pressure, perhaps a different type of pressure, but it does come with its own pressure.
Well, of course, if you're going for the title, you've always got pressure on you. But that North London Derby that is coming up looks
Jim, use the word narrative. Use the word narrative.
Do you think Spurs even think or are even acknowledging the fact they're in a title race?
Well, they say they're not, aren't they? When it's put to the players in post-match interviews, they say they're not talking about that. But if, as professional footballers, they're not thinking about or talking about that, then they are morons. Of course they are.
They're just focusing on the next game, taking it as it comes and all those other clichés.
I think it's perfect for Spurs because, as we've said, all the eyes are on Leicester because they're the real story here. They're on the same points as Arsenal, and people are talking about Arsenal because they haven't won the league for a long time. Spurs are just nicely in
Absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, yeah. Spurs, in a way, of those in the top four, they have the least pressure on them because... they weren't, you know, they were expected to maybe make a title push at the start of the season, but it was pretty much business as usual, wasn't it, where the aim was to qualify for the Champions League. So, you know, the fact that they're so far ahead of that is just, they can treat it like a nice sort of bonus because the pressure is on all the teams around them.
That's right, that's right.
And there's that Leicester smokescreen, they're loving it.
They won 5 on the spin in the league, Spurs, as well. They're in very good form.
And you'd fancy them for a 6th win, surely. What about this, a former Spurs manager and favourite, Martin Jol? He's loved by those Spurs fans.
Dutch uncle.
Yes.
Is he not loved by everyone?
Probably not by...
maybe some Fulham fans.
Fulham fans, yeah, he didn't do very well for Fulham. But yeah, I think it's hard to dislike Martin Jol. Martin Lowell, should I say. Well, he's taken the reins at Egyptian side Al-Ahly.
Al-Ahly?
How do you pronounce it?
Al-Ahly, isn't it?
Is it Al-Ahly?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's taken the reins there, which is interesting. I thought he was done with football.
Has he taken dick and cock with him? Has he?
They're his brothers. They're his legitimate brothers, Mark.
You've taken them with him.
I know they are. I was laughing about something I just remembered that happened earlier.
How do you spell a second of that name?
C-O-C-K.
Oh, fed, isn't it? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Fed, no further questions.
Yeah, it really couldn't be any clearer. Right? Yeah. Martin Jol's middle name is Cornelius, by the way, which is also
I mean, they are a set of Dutch uncles, aren't they?
They really are.
For me, I can't quite get over the size of the man's head.
He's a lovely
It's a very big old chin, isn't it? Easter Island quality to it.
I think so. I don't mean it as a criticism. I really don't. I think it's a very solid, avuncular head.
Mm. You've got a big old napper.
I have, and I should know. Yeah. I would know, because my head is huge too.
Yeah, but you know, I think you've got a fair size head. I don't think of Luke and think a big head.
It's proportionate, isn't it? It's proportionate. But the thing is, the tail mark is when you really come to remind yourself that you've got a massive head is when you put any sort of hat on.
Yeah, I have the same.
Your head's bigger.
Yeah, my hair disguises the fact that my head is actually quite big. I have a lot of hat trouble myself, Luke.
I've got a tiny little head. I can fit in some trellis.
No, but your forehead's quite bulbous.
You can
it's not bulbous. My hair goes back a bit further, isn't it?
Yeah. You fit your head through a keyhole.
Can any of you think of any bigger head in football than Martin Jol? It's very difficult. I was just, the whole time you guys were talking, I wasn't really listening. I was trying to think about it.
Shek Tiote's got quite a big head, does he not?
I just assume.
Yeah, he's got a pronounced forehead.
I just assume because of previous in all sorts of areas, Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah, that's putting a big head on someone. That's kind of different.
No, that's true.
I don't think any of these names mentioned so far are in Jol's league, are they? Martin Jol's, it's just massive, isn't it? It's a massive head.
Yeah, it is.
It's so big. It
Actually,
is so
surely
big.
Alan Brazil is the biggest head.
Brazil's got it. Not strictly in football, but in the football conversation, shall we say.
It's like a really old tree that's just kept thickening.
Agree. I've got nothing to add to that.
The thickening.
Massive head.
Anyway.
I'd love to see it alongside Martin Jol's. I really would.
Can you imagine,
would.
Remember those little toys you used to get? And I used to get an Alan Shearer one and an Andy Cole one. And it was they'd have little bodies, but a bobble head. They'd have a big head. Mm. Imagine Martin Jol's. Mm. You wouldn't be able to get the neck to support it.
If you want odds on finding someone with a bigger head in football than Martin Jol, Bet365 has said that's a telephone special. Yeah. So you have to get in touch with him.
Well, his news side, Al-Ahly, are 3 points above Zamalek, who sacked Mido recently, which we spoke about. Mido's successor is Alex McLeish.
The sunburn will be unreal.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's got quite a big head as well. I mean, he's not in the same league.
Unreal.
Yeah. It would actually be on fire at times.
Old cliche. Hey, yeah. What is he doing out there? I love it.
Does he know?
I don't think so.
Big heck.
Flipping heck.
I don't think Villa fans ever thought they'd want him back.
No.
But I'll tell you what, in straightened times.
Alex McLeish in Egypt, fighting it out with Martin Jol for the league title.
Was he good at Rangers, Alex McLeish? He was there for a long time.
I think he did okay at Rangers. He did well at Hibs, which got him the Rangers job.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Hibs, of course, beat Hearts recently in the Cup.
They did.
So many people were saying, oh, you never mentioned that.
Well, you didn't.
Yeah.
You can't complain.
To be fair, you didn't.
No, did I say that they were wrong to point that out? I said, I'm not going to mention it because it's a tin pot cup anyway.
Well, speaking of Alex McLeish, he's a man who's clearly obviously won the League Cup. He won it with Birmingham, didn't he, against your men?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Nor does William Gallas, was it? He had a tantrum?
That was a different embarrassment against Birmingham. That was in the league. So it was when Eduardo got his leg broken. Okay.
Oh, not funny.
Speaking of Scottish football, can I throw out a quick message?
Please.
From Gavin Grewcock. He says, yeah, you said how it's spelled. All right, lads, no mention for Super Kenny Miller on last week's ramble for Scotland.
Oh, that was a great goal.
His 100th Scottish League goal at the weekend. Made even better because it was an absolute screamer. Bit disappointed in Marcus because normally his love of Scottish football is heard loud and clear.
It was against the Blue Brazil. Hill, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like that.
Cowden Beath. It wasn't 100. It wasn't the 100th in the same weekend, presumably. I mean, the whole his career.
This is the way you said.
Otherwise, we would have mentioned.
Yeah, the way you said it made it sound like it might have been the 100th.
I'm reading the email. 100th Scottish League goal at the weekend.
Another former Hibs man, Kenny, and obviously playing for.
And I was thinking to myself, well, I know Scottish defending is generally quite poor, but it's that bad. Is that Henrik Larsson levels?
That sentence does deserve an Oxford comma somewhere.
Yeah, it certainly does. Manchester United are hosting Arsenal on the weekend. Manchester United play in the Europa League this evening. Apparently, Van Gaal had a 1-1 with the team that lost in the Europa League. All the players, of course, in the team that lost to Midtjylland in the first leg. This week, he said he wanted players to be horny for a second leg win against the Dutch side.
Strong.
Yeah. No, against the Danish side, sorry.
I suppose it gives you an extra limb to score with.
Yeah.
Arguably, I'd love to. Would you not love to have been listening in to the every single one to one he had? Because,
do you think he would say the same thing?
Or I was about to say, do you think he would get sort of more angry towards the end? Would you rather go in there early for a one to one, or go in there later?
That's a good point.
Presumably, recordings of them will be coming out on Sky Atlantic soon.
Released by Roy King.
Oh, yeah. I think that it would be quite a roller coaster. It's just potluck.
Hmm. Would he treat everyone the same, or do you think he would sort of? Because it's difficult to say, because certain players have acquitted themselves fairly well, I would argue, and some have been terrible. So
he'd try and get inside your head, wouldn't it? It would not be straightforward. No one would expect what was coming, and it would be different for each player.
Or he could have a go at them for different reasons. So I would imagine Jesse Lingard, who's been quite positive this season, he would have a go at him for his dab celebration and just go mental at him about that. And you'd think, what?
Would he have his assistant in there as well?
Probably.
Mm. Yeah, for someone he just claimed to be Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, who he looks a lot like.
It reminds me of, you know, when you hear about managers at meeting after games for like a glass of wine or whatever, and that's like a tradition they do in the Premier League. I mean, sometimes do you not think, what have they got to say to each other?
Yeah.
Like, what's Van Gaal and Wenger going to say to each other after the game? I mean, I suppose they've been around for a while, so they might have a bit in common. But I mean, certain managers, you think, I mean, is Wenger really going for a drink with Poulos after a game?
Well, yeah, I wonder how true it actually is that this tradition exists.
Let me qualify it further. Is Van Gaal really going for a drink with anyone after a game?
He's off to Mr. Wings, isn't he?
Yeah, he might well be. Yeah, he might well be. Let's do it at Mr. Wings.
Only if they do well. It's a tricky one for Arsenal. They look like they've lost Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for a little while. Mm. Could be a nasty one. Could even be
absolutely good as well.
Yeah, he's better.
Yeah, he's been in slightly better form of late, but obviously, sadly, we're not going to see him again for a little while.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
are you dreading this one, Jim? Are you?
No, I'm not dreading it. It's traditionally been a sort of tough trip for Arsenal in recent years. I think they might have won the last six league games at Old Trafford. But obviously, we beat them 3-0 at the Emirates this season, and we beat them in the FA Cup at Old Trafford last season as well. So the tide looks to have turned a little bit in a sense at least. So I'm hoping we can find a bit of form again. It'd be a good win to restore some confidence. I think Danny Welbeck should and probably will start.
And score an own goal.
That'd be rubbish. It's all been leading to this.
His comeback is finally complete.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been a breath of fresh air, actually, Welbeck, because Giroud looks like he's in a bit of an existential funk. Theo Walcott is really sort of off the pace, and pace is all he's got, so that's not ideal. I think Welbeck would be the right guy to start. Just, you know, mix it up a little bit.
He looked really good against Barca. He seemed to be the only player really up for it, I thought.
I don't know about that. I think that they're all up for it. It's just Barcelona are not bad.
Arsenal are 11-8 to win this game. I mean, so... The reason I bring that up is because I think I echo what you said, Jim. I think it's actually quite a nice bet. I don't think United are anywhere near robust or solid enough. I'm not going to make a prediction because I was end up looking stupid. But if you have £10 on Arsenal to win at Man United at Old Trafford, it returns £23.75 including stakes. That's a profit £13.75. On this game, we're going to do our bet of the week.
We are indeed.
It's not an Arsenal win though, despite Jim's protestations. No, you want
I've
the
not predicted a win.
Yeah, you want the opposite. So
I'm just hoping for a win.
Yeah, we've gone for a score draw in this game.
Yeah.
So. Obviously, a draw in which both teams score, hence the name score draw. It's 7-2 with Bet365, and a £50 stake on that, with all our returns going to Prostate Cancer UK, of course, and returns £225, including stakes, so £175 profit. Please gamble responsibly, though, and you have to be over the age of 18 to bet. And for more information on responsible gambling, go to...
GambleAware.co.uk.
You probably should have rehearsed that a bit better.
Yeah, do it in time with me, mate.
Please ramble responsibly.
Actually, you know what? A score draw helps neither side and is therefore almost certain.
Yeah. That's right. Pete, have we got an email or
two?
Oh,
we got a few. I mean, there's a few people talking about the Kenny G song in China being played when you want to go home. There's a man by the name of James who basically gets Kenny G'd every time he overstays his welcome in a bar or a nightclub. Basically, they turn on the music to make you go home.
So, yeah.
That was James. Elliot Griffiths also said that. And hello to Will in Banff. Highlight of the week was Brendan Rodgers proposing to his girlfriend in New York City. Was that definitely him?
Yeah, I think it was in Times Square. I think
good
it was him, yeah.
News. Will in Rob. Just
well,
Rob.
Hang on. But when he asked her, presumably she said yes.
This is okay.
There we go. Rob says, "I'm an amateur referee, long time listener. I want to draw your attention to a common misconception among players and pundits: shouting mine on the field of play instead of using your proper name isn't a bookable offence.
Wow.
You're allowed to shout anything to indicate you want to attack the ball. The offence comes when you shout mine in order to deliberately deceive an opponent so that they think it's their teammate shouting. I mean, you know,
sort of what we meant.
You're gonna get him. Yeah. You're gonna get.
I mean, that is anyway. What's his name? That guy?
That name is Rob.
You're a pedant.
Oi.
He's a referee, hey. Supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to ask you to marry me. Okay.
you show great character.
You've been stirring that one up, haven't you? Yeah. That was not at all relevant.
Well, for about 20 seconds, Jim.
Cricket.
That's all it takes.
Robin says, just listen to the latest ramble, the mention of Lineker's bar brought back many a happy memory of a post-A-level trip to Tenerife that I went on many years ago with a group of college friends, including one Luke Moore.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. This is what I was referring to last week.
I believe it was outside of Lineker's bar that our chance of play-up Pompey enticed a fellow Portsmouth fan to drag his girlfriend across the street so that he could join in the chorus. I'll never forget the look of sorrow in his eyes when he realised that shouting football chants with a bunch of teenage randoms probably wasn't their idea of a good night. And her idea of a good night. Yeah. And he reluctantly decided to part ways with his newfound shouty friends. Hashtag doing the right thing. It was a cracking trip. And needless to say, Luke was out shagging every night.
Hey,
so, a return to a previous.
That's not true.
Ramble.
But thanks for getting in touch, Rob. I really appreciate
that's
that.
Definitely not true though. One final one, David Hughes. I've given you a little bit. You can give me a little bit. Dear Ramble, my brother wrote in last week to let you know that I did see Sydney or Pete on the Eurostar coming back from Brussels. I didn't realise it was Pete at first, but when he sat down and declared "I am Zen" to the entire train, it confirmed it.
Appalling behaviour.
Can
I just say before we go, really quick, are you done, by the way?
Yeah. I had a bit about bald women, just leave it there.
No, bald women, I want it.
I'm slightly intrigued what the bald women in Ghent were like. Pete's explanation of why they were bald was, it's Europe, innit?
All right.
I don't remember.
Do you have anything further on that?
I don't remember meeting a bald woman.
Okay. We'll have a think, and maybe then we'll talk about it on the next football round. Yeah.
I have to confess that I actually asked for some highlights on the Facebook as well, and I feel bad if I don't mention at least one of them. So this is one from Alfredo. He says, "My highlight of the week was definitely my mother after the Arsenal-Barcelona game posting on Facebook, 0-2. Any surprises?" I love that.
Brilliant.
I love her doing good. That. I hope she doesn't even like football.
That's very good. That's very good. We've come to the end of our time on the preview show sponsored by Bet365. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The website is thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. There are still tickets available for the Birmingham show. One or two left there,
Jim. Yeah, we released a few more. We found some more stuff down the back of the sofa of the Crescent Theatre in Birmingham.
Kraken.
Yeah, so if you want to come to see us in Birmingham, you can.
And tickets, a few left in Newcastle as well. And don't forget 4 Tunes.
It's in mid-April, the live show, just go to thefootballramble.com for more information.
Uh-huh, and check us out on youtube.com/4Tunes.
Oh, bit of an update.
Oh,
Tino's unblocked me on Twitter.
Yay!
Thank you very much to Taylor. He basically sent a message to Tino going, "You've blocked my friend Pete Donaldson on here and he has no idea why. Can you unblock him?" And Tino replied to him in a DM saying, "He might have wrote something bad for sure."
But you got unblocked.
He unblocked him. He's unblocked me, so that's very nice.
Well,
thank you to Taylor and
thank you to Tino. Yeah.
Tino and Taylor.
He's freed the Donaldson one.
Are we forgetting about the other dinosaur thing that happened with Tino this week?
Where have we got time to talk about that?
I think we mentioned it, didn't
him
we?
Him dressed as a dinosaur.
We mentioned it on the last one.
It's a new one.
Yeah, but the greatest thing with that is it's a different dinosaur costume as well. Yeah.
Dinosaur hoverboard. Let's leave.
Yes, exactly. There we are. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye.
Yes, goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.